Welcome to the Motivate Me Book Club. We read and challenge books to motivate us. Follow along as we uncover what may or may not work from these books, provide tools and resources for your goals, and interview people who have found a path to success through their reading. Join us to kick ass at achieving your goals faster and easier than before, one book at a time. Motivate Me Book Club is here to motivate you. This week we interview Lindsay Tobias of Keep Your Plants On. I met Lindsay a few months ago at a run club where we instantly bonded over our shared passion for public speaking, wanting to make a difference in the world, and of course, books. It was then that she had shared with me that she had applied concepts from The Atomic Habits and that no other book had been able to really convey that to her before. I had said that when this book was on the Motivate Me Book Club, she would be coming on to talk about how she had been able to do this. Well, how can a 23-year-old entrepreneur have so much wisdom and insight into habit transformation? Spoiler alert, she does read a lot. Listen to this week's interview, which proves that books are truly an incredible resource to affect positive change in your life's habits and those of others.
I'm a holistic health coach, so I work with clients, primarily women, and I focus on, so my tagline is stop dieting and start nourishing your body sustainably. So I focus on teaching women to kind of sift through the noise of all diet culture is throwing at them. And my heart aches for the women that are constantly affected by like body image issues and relationship to food and not knowing how to stabilize their blood sugar and like having all of these hormonal and gut health issues based around food, and then it's manifesting itself in low confidence.
How long have you been doing this?
4.5 years.
Okay. And then what was your sort of career path before that?
I was a personal trainer, and I was in college, started personal training, then found that like that was kind of what went with personal training. Okay, so what should I eat? I was like, I don't really know the answer to those questions. I was never a healthy person.
Oh.
No.
Oh,
like,
really?
Not at all. I never even thought about food. Like, it was just whatever is packaged and in front of me, I will consume. And, like, it was
But you felt good because you went to the gym and you
well,
had worked out, like, your body.
I was a college athlete. So I
Got
played...
It. Okay.
I played D1 volleyball at Liberty. And, like, was always just very athletic, very in shape, and inevitably, I never even had an issue. Like, I couldn't tell you what I thought about my body at that time in my life. Being a junior in college, like, no body image issues whatsoever. And I started like, learning more about this. My sister-in-law at the time, she started her own nutrition business. And so she took me on as a client, and I started learning and getting very toned, and then said, all right, I don't need you anymore, because she wanted me to stay where I was. And then I kind of took it and ran. I learned that nutrition and food can actually manipulate your body composition. And to a negative degree, I just completely abused that. And
what do you mean? Like,
so I got very, very lean, 7% body fat.
Oh, so you went, like, down the rabbit hole of...
Yes, I, like...
Oh, my gosh.
Every single vein and muscle you could see, and everyone told me, like, Lindsay, you look so sick, and all this stuff, and I was so obsessed with being this small, and, like, lost my period, had all of these hormonal issues, gut issues.
Oh, my goodness.
And the only reason I share that, and at first that was something... And this was about 5.5 years ago, so this was... at first, this is something that I was a little bit ashamed of, like, at this point in my life. Why? Like, who do you think you are to tell women how to eat and to love themselves? And honestly, it's the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
My experiences, I don't think I could ever care as deeply or be anywhere near as passionate as I am now about health if I didn't have my own health issues, my own health journey, and if I didn't have to work to heal my own hormones through food.
Your transition was from self-healing to now helping others.
Yes.
And really sharing that wisdom and personal experience.
Yes. I worked for, so I went back and actually worked for my sister's, my sister-in-law's company.
Okay.
And we focused on macronutrients. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It's just basically you give people a rundown of protein, carbs, fats,
percentages,
fiber.
Of each one for each day.
Yeah, okay. Actual like grams.
Oh, like down to the T.
It was very specific.
Okay.
And the more structured your goal is, the more strategic your approach needs to be. But I started getting women that I knew and like wanted to work with me and things like that. And they started coming alongside and their goals were to feel good in their own skin, to not be obsessed with food, to heal their hormones, whatever it be,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was, it did not fit with that protocol. And I felt like I was giving people almost the opposite of what I wanted, like an unhealthy relationship with food. Like you have to focus so hard. You have to track every single thing and weigh every single thing that goes into your mouth. And
it almost like reinforces that like
yeah.
negative relationship of like obsessing over food by
Absolutely.
Then like, you know, to a T, you have to know every little detail and,
yeah.
and mark it down. Like that almost makes the obsession worse.
Yeah, like completely.
That's crazy. And so it wasn't working
it,
for
I
everybody?
Mean,
like I guess.
Yeah. So it was working to the if you are only grading it as like they lost weight or something, mm-hmm. but it wasn't working for me. And I never got actually any like bad feedback or anything, but I was finding myself like not adhering to what my company was preaching.
Okay.
And so I was like, why am I doing that? So long story short, I started my own business and I work, it's called Keep Your Plants On. And so I have a program that's launching in 2 months, actually. It's called Keep Your Plants On for Good. I've worked
I
with...
I love it. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited.
I've gotten the privilege to work with over 100 clients now on my own terms.
Yes.
And I've learned so much from every single client. And my whole goal is to reinforce something called bioindividuality. And that's the idea that everyone is so drastically different.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that they need to eat to reach their goals, which are different than the other person that's right next to them's goals, it needs to work for them. It needs to not only work for them, but it also needs to be the healthiest diet for them.
I love your passion because it's obviously what you're most invested in and, you know, you live, breathe it, walk it, talk it, all that. But you're talking about influencing people and getting them to adopt something that they are may not doing normally, and that's habit changing.
Yeah.
And from all of the conversations that I've been having with people and even with myself and reflection, it's so hard to change habits.
Yes.
And with the Motivate Me book club, this whole first season has been about really getting that motivation through different books, through different kinds of approaches, and some have seemed really like, oh my goodness, amazing. And then some are like, you know, if I don't have this already, it's probably not going to work kind of thing. But for you, you had to search out for ways to help people change habits.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that we talked about, was that one specific book kind of like was like a light bulb moment. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
Okay,
no,
so
absolutely.
That's the current book, Atomic Habits. And when I had told you that we're going to read this eventually, I wanted you to come on and tell me more about this. So I have been waiting. And I'm so glad that we're talking about it now. How did Atomic Habits like work into all of this? Because
yeah,
it's yeah, I don't know this answer yet.
Yes. So Atomic Habits is based on behavior change, which was my degree in college was exercise science, and we focused a lot on behavior change.
Interesting.
But there were
so you have actual training just
yeah.
in cognitive behavioral science type of thing.
Yes, and behavioral science is literally the subject
foundation
header.
Of
yeah.
it. Okay, cool. Got it.
And I learned so much about why people do what they do, but it was just never, there was loose ends. And that's what frustrated me, especially moving from macros, which was easy, especially to do remote coaching, because mm-hmm. you just have numbers. Did
yeah.
you get these numbers? All right, we're going to change these numbers. So when I took that away, it was like, how do I get people to actually do habits?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we track things? How do we track progress? How do we monitor anything? And so Atomic Habits was such a revolutionary book for me because it tied every single one of those loose ends. And I've read a ton of books on habit formation, specifically Switch by Dan Heath.
Okay.
Thinking Fast and Slow.
Yeah. I'm familiar with that one.
Which he does pull a lot from Thinking Fast and Slow, and a lot from a wide range of
other habit
yes.
adjustment books. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Which I think is phenomenal. Like, mm-hmm. I love that he does that. So basically, when I read this, it helped me put together exactly how I wanted to coach my clients and exactly how I wanted to specifically transform my own habits.
So when did this happen? Did you, like, last year, the year before?
I read this book last year.
Okay.
And added so much to my coaching and saw so many great results from...
Like, before and after.
Yes.
Like, just a complete, like, obvious change.
Yeah. So now I call myself a habit-based coach.
Oh, I like
and
it.
Because it's so foundational to everything I do, and I'll talk more about it. So specifically, I start with my clients now with environment and mindset change. So, and that was specifically right now, and I'm sure you know this, there is a huge audience for environment change, not worldwide, but like changing your own environment,
mm-hmm.
changing your own mindset, changing your own habits. And then there's a directly different field of health and wellness where people talk about dietary theories all day long.
Yeah.
And I didn't see immersion between the two like I wanted to. I didn't see people putting the two together because I was like, this is so obviously meant to go together. Like, it
so
has
you're
to be together.
To yes. Create that bridge.
So specifically with the environment change, I talk to my clients and I'll ask them, if I, a health and wellness enthusiast, spent a week in your environment, would it be easy or possible for me to maintain my same habits? And so just thinking about that, like, if I can't maintain my own habits in your environment, why do you expect yourself to be able to change all these portions of your life if your environment doesn't reflect those changes? And, like, to put it another way, he also talks a lot about mindset, and this is something we talked about at Run Club, but...
So this is James Clear, the author?
Yes, James okay. Clear talks about mindset, and I love the way that he says this portion. He talks about every single decision you make is a vote towards a type of person that you are. So I hear people all the time saying, I am a lazy person. I'm just a messy person, or I'm just always late. Or there's so many things that we say so often about
like
ourselves.
Like our reaffirmations.
Yes.
To like excuse it almost, right?
Yes.
Like you're just like, well, I am this, so therefore I will continue to be that way.
Yeah.
Interesting. And that did you hear that from your clients?
Oh yeah, all the time. And specifically what drives me nuts is I am an all or nothing person. And so right off the bat, one of the things James Clear talks about is you go back and say, no, you've cast a lot of votes to convince yourself that you're an all or nothing person, but your next decision is another vote. Your next decision is a vote towards the type of person you want to be or the type of person you have been. And sometimes they can be the same person. But,
yeah, of course. I mean, you can have multiple hats, I think. Like,
yes.
You can't just box yourself into saying, okay, I'm one and I guess I'm nothing else now. I'm just like from lazy to active. That's it.
Yeah.
You can have more
yeah.
votes.
Yeah, absolutely. And he says, like, there's one example that just makes a lot of sense. He's like, if you believe yourself to be a religious person
mm-hmm.
because you have 20 years of experience every Sunday going to church, of course you're going to believe that about yourself. You have all of these votes. You have all of this evidence. But if you continually say, like, oh, I want to be healthy, but I'm just not a healthy person, let's get some more votes in that area. This next meal, that's a vote. Like, this next run, that's a vote. You don't have to convince someone to do something that they care about. You don't have to convince someone to run if they're a marathon runner and that's who they take pride in being. They believe themselves to be a runner. So, like, even switching from I'm an all or nothing person, like, stop saying that to yourself. Stop affirming that in yourself and start saying this next time I'm going to do X, or just keeping that forward focus and focusing on I want to be someone who's not an all or nothing person. In this situation that I'm in right now, mm-hmm. how can I cast a vote towards that?
And so like, how do you apply that to, say, these changes from I'm a lazy person, I'm not a healthy person, to saying I am an active person? Because that is going to have an action. So is it something that you get them to write down? Like, how did you apply that specifically?
Yeah. So I'll do an exercise with my clients. So I want you to, right now, I had a client named Laura, and I'll just go from hers because I feel like I can lay this out easier that way. And she was the biggest culprit of this. Okay. She told me exactly who she was right as she sat down.
She already defined herself. Yeah. Like, she had that already.
And she was, I mean, she's 45, so she has a lot of years to mm-hmm. prove to herself that she is something. She has never, and she was a normal, healthy looking size. She wasn't overweight or anything. But she was like, I cannot lose 15 pounds. Like, there's no way that I will ever lose 15 pounds. And there was a lot there that we got to go through. But specifically, one of the things is like, I want you to take a moment and write down if you reached your goals tomorrow. So if you were 15 pounds lighter, mm-hmm. how would that affect you? Write down everything that, and I called it Super Laura. How would you look? How would you feel? How would you go through your day? How would you respond to your husband? How would you, every single part of that, I want you to visualize. And so she created Super Laura. And this is pretty silly, but like,
the superhero version of yourself, or like this ideal, I guess, maybe.
Yeah. And so she created Super Laura, and she would always text me and be like, Super Laura's going to fit into these shorts, or like, Super Laura would not be getting froyo right now. And like, you make a decision, but if you have in your head who you are, it's a lot easier to make the decision of what you will do with that.
So she could cast votes towards Super Laura.
Yeah. And so she would write down, I like to give a lot of different journal exercises, because anything to increase mindfulness mm-hmm. and the idea that like you have to put thought into what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm all about that.
Yes.
So she would actually write down at the beginning of the day, like, I am this, and like an affirmation. So mm-hmm. I am, I think it was like, I'm someone who is consistently showing up for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I'm someone who consistently will have, sometimes it's like, she's like, I will consistently have green juice in the morning before I do anything. Like, there's different phases where different things are going to be important to you. Mm-hmm. But if every phase works towards that end goal, it's just so amazing the results that you can actually achieve.
I've heard that. And there are other sort of influencers within these success traits and habit formation that have suggested things like this. Like Rachel Hollis, she writes down her affirmations, but she says things about what she wants in the future as if they are presently there. She's like, yeah. I have $1 million. And so she would write that every day. And then one day she had $1 million. And it was just like, I have $1 million. And it was like true, but she had already like pictured that. And so it wasn't like scary or like crazy. It was like, I have $1 million. I'm extremely happy. Like all these things, even if they weren't true, but it was because that's what she wanted. Yeah. I guess that Super Rachel version. That helped motivate her on the daily basis. And is that from Atomic Habits, like that kind of thing? Or have you kind of pulled from other places too for that?
So that idea of like identifying with who you want to be, I mean, that's from everything. But Atomic Habits definitely talks about that. So there are 4 laws of habit change. And this was like groundbreaking to me.
And James Clear through this whole thing in Atomic Habits.
Yes.
Okay, secret sauce moment.
Secret sauce moment. 1 is make it obvious. Okay. 2 is make it attractive. 3 is make it easy. And 4 is make it satisfying. So I go through every single one of these in the health habits of my clients and in my own life. So think about, what is a habit that you would want to create?
For myself right now, yeah. that I'm doing? 1 is just to like track my habits. I realized like I have never tracked habits before. So I was like, I need to make using like a habit tracker, a habit. Like,
yeah.
Like writing daily, I guess. Journal daily.
So for that habit, how do we make it obvious?
I need a journal. I need a nice journal, something to write in that has that space, I guess.
Yeah.
Daily.
And so, like, the way that he worded it a lot was, if your goal is to journal every day.
Yeah.
Or journal first thing in the morning.
First thing, yeah.
Before you go to bed, make sure your journal's right on your nightstand. Make sure your pen is next to that journal.
Okay,
make
so it put it, like, next
visually
to...
Visually obvious. Yeah, okay. So that there's a cue. Everything we do is based on cues. Mm, okay. So make it obvious is specifically relates to environment change as well, because it's like, how can we make this as visually in my face as possible?
Okay.
How can I make the thing that I want to do the most obvious thing to do? And so for you...
So you don't get distracted. Like, it's there before, like, something else gets in the way.
Yeah. So for me, just along those same lines, I was really bad at having water first thing in the morning. And I would, like, go through my whole morning routine and then feel, like, super thirsty. And actually, side note, hunger and thirst are manifested by the same hormones. So a lot of times when you're feeling really hungry, you actually could be thirsty.
Really thirsty.
Now, I literally will fill up a glass of water and put it on my nightstand. And that's the first thing I see in the morning. And I haven't missed this habit in maybe like 8 months, because it's right in my face. It's not hard. It's very visibly apparent. There's a cue and I respond to it.
Okay.
And
so
I'll
then
go
how
through.
Did, yeah. So like building on that, the second part is?
The second part is make it attractive.
Okay.
So, and this one wouldn't relate because this is already attractive to you, but something that you want to incorporate into your life that maybe isn't as exciting as the inverse portion of that habit, so the negative habit. So, for example, make it attractive would be giving some sort of reward to your action. So, if I go for a run, then I will come back and have a friend over for dinner. Or making there to be something that affirms that behavior that is actually attractive to you. And for this one, it would probably be easier to say, get a nice journal.
Yes.
Get a new journal.
You want to use it, like, with pens, like, that are really fancy. I mean, I've got these, like, for my birthday, I got all these pineapple pens, and I'm, like, in love with them. My friends are amazing.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, now I can, like, use that and have that, like, satisfaction or that attractive nature of it. What was the third one again?
The third one is make it easy.
Okay.
So how... I love this part. He says, humans go, they will always follow the law of least friction.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
If there
Isn't
is
that
friction.
So true?
Yes. And I'm the same way.
I know. I'm like, we're all lazy individuals. I think some people are just more like smart about being lazy.
Yeah.
Because like, nobody's not lazy. Everyone would love to just like sit back and relax and not like do anything.
Yeah.
But how does this work? Like, if we're innately structured that way, of going this like easy, less friction, what do you do?
So I found with my clients that there is ebbs and flows of motivation.
Okay.
So for me, if I am going to, if you say that I have to meal prep for an hour at the beginning of the week, that's just like frustrating to me. Like I don't always have that time, but I will have 20 minutes. So what I do is during that time where there is a little bit higher motivation, if I'm just going to chop things for one night's meal, I'm going to chop all of my vegetables because that's going to make it easy the next day. I don't have to chop anything. I don't, it's already done. And that action, that's law three. So that goes to making it easy to make the decisions I want to make. Does that make sense?
It does.
I can word it another way.
I like what you're saying there because you're just doing more at the same time, but like is it also about the time of day to do it, like when a time that you have motivation, or just like because you've time blocked it and you've like given yourself like I've got 20 minutes go time, and then at 20 minutes you're like, okay, I'm done, I can walk away, and you kind of like have completed that, so it's like that check off the box, you now can
so it's different for different people.
Okay.
Some people will say they know themselves well enough to know I am really productive in the beginning of the day, or I'm really productive
at the
end of the day.
Well, they say scientifically, more people are morning people. Like that, as soon as you wake up, like you shouldn't be on your phone because now you've taken away that energy stock.
Yeah.
And as your day goes on, you know, you can easily be on your phone at the end of the day just scrolling through pages, so don't waste your morning.
Yeah.
Like, on social media, like, get to what, like, eat your frog type of approach, yeah, almost. So,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So making it easy is making there be no friction whatsoever to make the choice you want to make. I'll give you another example that I think might be a little bit better. There's a portion in my program, mm-hmm, that says, it's specifically called make your freezer into a smoothie shop. Take the time to chop frozen fruits and vegetables, put it in your freezer, and now it is so easy to make a smoothie. You don't have to pull out a million things. Maybe even put it into a baggie and say, this is what this,
like,
smoothie is going to be.
Pre-made everything. Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be something that takes some... It really doesn't take a lot of effort whatsoever. But it can be anything. How can I make this... And that's the question that you have to ask for whatever habit it is. How can I make this as easy as possible? Make sure my shoes are right next to my bed if I want to go running in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure I set up enough time to, like, whatever your excuses are going to be, and you know yourself well enough to, mm-hmm, know what that internal dialogue is all the time. Whatever those excuses are going to be, make sure you've combated them in some way beforehand. And then the last one, like we've said, is make it satisfying, like make it worthwhile to you to do that task.
So that gratification part, that's what I'm interested, because you kind of got my brain going now that, you know, you go through all these steps, because I was like, okay, we'll make it easy. I can see where, like, you can make an excuse, which I don't believe there are excuses. There are reasons, like interruptions, things just call, like, for your attention at that 20-minute moment that you're going to chop vegetables all of a sudden. Emergency! Like, I need you over here. Like, whatever. It could be somebody else, your phone, whatever. Like, somebody's broken that time from you.
Mm-hmm.
But then you give yourself back, or how do you... Is that last part about the accountability, is that, like, where you may not need somebody because the reward is so personally gratifying that that reinforces it? Like, how does that work for your clients? Because you're their coach, but like you said, with the environment, if it's not going to be sustainable, if you couldn't put yourself there and have your habits maintained, it sounds like it'll just fall by the wayside and you'll revert back to bad original habits, because that's easy. Again, mm-hmm, we go back to the path of least resistance. So how do you believe that there has to be accountability externally, or do you believe that people can find that personal accountability and just actually go with it from themselves?
Yeah, I absolutely love that question. I love that question because I say this over and over again, and it's no secret to my clients that I do not want them to need me.
Yeah.
I want them to grow so comfortable in showing up for themselves and having this accountability to themselves that they don't need me for the rest of their lives. I don't want them to need me for the rest of their lives. I am here to prove to them that this is worthwhile,
mm-hmm,
this is attainable,
mm-hmm,
and this is something that they can actually sustain for the rest of their lives. But I don't want them to need me for accountability.
Right.
If you always, always need external accountability, you, yeah, are never truly making something yours. And so that's why I started smiling like crazy when you asked that question, because I think that's something that bothers me in the health and wellness industry, is these people are making programs and services that uses them as a crutch. And it's saying, like, okay, you need to do this and check in with me here and check in with me here. My programs have a ton of accountability because it is necessary, especially,
yeah,
in the beginning. Like, I have clients checking in twice a week, and they're sending me pictures of their pantry because,
aww,
I don't trust them to, at least starting off, to throw out everything that they need to throw
out. Like, I know Nutella's still in there.
Yeah, seriously. Like, there's a ton of accountability, but... By the end of working with me, if they still need me, I didn't give them the service that they needed from me. They didn't become healthier. They adopted my habits. So,
but it was just for the time being. Because I know, I think it might be in a little bit of Atomic Habits that I've read that it, and I know that the something I'm guilty of is like with running. I've been better about it recently, but before I used to only run because I had a race. And then I was training and I did all the stuff with like track and stretching, and then the race day comes and then I take like 6 weeks off and I don't even go for a single run anymore because it was just for a specific end date. What do you do for that point?
So every single time my clients reach a victory mark, I will let them know this exact thing. You just hit one of your goals. I'm so proud of you. There's two responses right now. That can either continue to motivate you to continue to do what you want to do, or you can ease off the gas a little bit and say, I've already done this. I lost that 15 pounds, or I looked as good as I wanted to for that cruise, so I don't have to keep doing this. Or my favorite one is, oh, my test results came back great, so now I can like start to introduce dairy again, which I knew was inflammatory to me. These things aren't serving you in any way. And so if you are, and that's why I call myself a habit-based coach, because there's a difference between habits and fad diets. And both of them can potentially work for you. Like, if you want to lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks, go on a juice cleanse. Don't eat a thing. But if you are not going to be able to sustain that for the rest of your life, which I encourage no one to sustain a juice cleanse for the rest of their life or ever. But if you're not going to be able to sustain it, what did you learn? You're going to come back to the habits that brought you to where you are right now. So unless you change those habits, you're going to keep coming back. And what's interesting about nutrition specifically is, when we lower our overall calories, when we start to eat less, or if we lose weight, both of those contribute to what's called a down-regulated metabolism, meaning our metabolic rate, the rate at which we burn calories, will actually lower if we weigh less. So if we weigh less now, our metabolism is not burning as many calories, and then we go back to eating like we were before. This is how people gain so much weight and more back. And so that's why it's stop dieting and start nourishing your body sustainably. And here's how I'll loop it back to Atomic Habits. James Clear, he says, you don't adopt habits to reach a goal because that's what's going to happen. You reach the goal, the habits are gone.
Exactly.
And so he always talks about, your goal is not to do something. It is to become someone. And so if your goal is to become someone, you're not going to fall off of that, because you're going to find identity in who that is. Yeah. And
like Super Laura.
Like Super Laura.
Like, to be Super Laura, like that's not like a one momentary time that then you're Super Laura and then you can go back to being like regular Laura.
Yeah. And it's also so satisfying to be Super Laura. And so he says, like, instead of
person to become.
Yeah. And he says, so instead of, I want to be someone who loses 10, or instead of I want to lose 10 pounds, is like, I want to be someone who could lose 10 pounds. Even just a simple switch as that is going to say, what would someone who could lose 10 pounds, how would they have habits?
I want to be someone who's always 170. Like, say you're like 180 and you want to lose that 10 pounds. It's like, I want to be 170, but that means like always. So it's consistent to keep and maintain, not to just lose the 10 and then like revert back and then gain the 10 back.
Yeah.
So it's like that, like, full on transition to something else and to maintain that future self.
But it's literally an embodiment.
Exactly.
Like, I want to be this. Amazing. I don't want to do this.
Yes.
So that's something that stuck well with me. And since reading that, I never in my life had I had a morning routine.
I've had morning routines, but not like structured, like what you're saying for yourself, or like even what I've been trying to do recently. So this, I feel, might be that like final breakthrough after trying all these little habit adjustments. I spoke about this on the last episode where he's talking about the ice cube in the room, and you're both like, you're sitting in this room with an ice cube, it's cold, but you have that like just tipping point where it starts to melt when it hits the melting point, 32 degrees, 0 degrees Celsius. So I feel like, you know, with all these habits and things that people with the Motivate Me book club have trying, like, I'm like, oh, maybe this is just that next book, but who knows, right?
I really, like, I look at your shelf and I've read almost every single book on that shelf. I'm telling you, this one, for me,
was that breaking point.
Really, like, stuck out?
Because it's straight application. I actually sent it to, I work alongside a lot of functional medicine doctors, and I actually sent it to all of them. Amazing. And I got an email back, finally, from one of them.
Read it.
Finally read it. And he was like, this is the best book on habit formation I've ever read. This was, and what he expected was for it to be like a lot of the other books where it's education.
Yes.
And like we talked about earlier, education is not application. No. It's just not. And you can know something. You can even know every ounce about why you do what you do, but that won't change you doing it if there's not an application. So he is amazing at actually giving the application. One of my favorite quotes from him is, disciplined people spend the least time in tempting situations. They do not create an environment where they're constantly tempted. They don't, if their goal is to lose weight, their pantry isn't filled with those foods that they actually really want to be eating, but I'll be good. I promise I won't have that. I'll have that once a week or something. Make your environment an environment that aligns with your priorities, and it is shocking to see how closely you will get to your goals or how quickly you will reach your goals. And
that includes like the 4-step process too.
Yes.
Like setting yourself up with everything around you that you're wanting to do.
Yeah.
Easier, more attractive, satisfying.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Then I kind of took that and ran with it. And something that I say to a lot of my clients is, I have never seen someone sustainably stick to healthy habits in an unhealthy environment. And that word there is sustainably, because, you know, I've seen a ton of people, and you've seen a ton of people, that have stuck to something for 30 days, mm-hmm. that have stuck to something for 6 months. But sustainably changing who you are mm-hmm. in an environment that doesn't align with it, it just doesn't happen. And so I just cannot recommend this book enough. I know that I've said that, but
that's amazing. I'm so inspired. And I love talking to people who have applied books, because that's the whole thing about a lot of the ones that you see here that we have read, I still have to read. It's, do they work? Do they speak to you? Is there something of application from it? And some of them I really enjoyed, but I feel even in the last episode, you know, like after more time has gone by, I feel like fewer of those books have been as effective as I initially thought after about a month. But
yeah,
this one I'm ready to give more of a dive into and actually extract from it. So thank you so much for giving us all this information and all this honesty and everything that you've taken from it for yourself. Quickly, what is a book coming up for you? What is kind of on the next of your book stack?
One of my other favorite books is Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Okay.
And that would be an entire other podcast because I'm obsessed with that book. But I loved reading it so much that I want to actually read one of her works. So, and the way that she has inspired my own creativity, mm-hmm. I'm so excited to read what she's come up with. And if you think about books, books are seriously, I was actually talking to my husband about this the other day. I'm 23 years old, and I have experienced and learned the breakthroughs of 70-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 50-year-olds, just by reading.
Yeah.
And if someone takes the time to read a book or to write a book, that is the utmost pillar of their passion. Mm-hmm. Yes, I want to read that. I want to read what someone thought was worthwhile to take the time to write their most passionate thoughts and publish it. Like, that's just so wild to me. I feel like I have experienced and learned lessons and traveled even through books when I haven't even in real life. And so I am really excited. I'm going to read City of Girls next. I actually listened to it on Audible.
Okay.
So I have a whole bookshelf, and we need another bookshelf.
It's just because there's piling up.
There's just too much. And so before we get that, I've listened to 7 books on Audible in the past month and a half.
Good for you.
I work from home, so.
I feel like I get a little bit distracted when I listen and do stuff at the same time. I'm I like podcasts, but I don't know if I would listen intently to an audiobook.
Yeah.
I have yet to try this out, so I'm not going to discredit it, like, off the bat without that. I'm definitely a scientist at heart. I will still, you know, do an experiment. But I think what you said was really profound about the knowledge that are in these books and the fact that people have spent their lifetime dedicated to these concepts and packaged it in such a accessible way.
Yeah.
That if you don't, then you're just doing yourself a disservice by not reading. You know, you have all this available to you for free through libraries and, yeah, and whatnot still. But I really think you are ahead of a lot of people your age. I'm a decade older than you.
Oh,
so
that's wild.
it's amazing because I'm like, I wish I at 23 had that like foresight, hindsight type of thing that you already have. You know, you've already experience so much and see beyond your years. So I feel like you've got so much potential ahead of yourself, and I'm proud Thanks. Of everything that you've done. So can't wait to see where else you go from here. But again, thank you so much, Lindsay, for coming on the Motivate Me Book Club podcast today. It's been a pleasure getting to know you better. And I mean, yeah, we'll talk about big magic and more books later on. So who knows? Maybe I'll have you back.
Thank you so much.
That was Lindsay Tobias of Keep Your Plants On. Follow her on Instagram, check out her cooking series on YouTube, Cook Your Plants Off, and sign up on howtokeepyourplantson.com for the waitlist of her program. Well, how can Atomic Habits work for you? Find out by reading the book and extracting the concepts that you want to apply. Let's talk next week about Atomic Habits by James Clear. This has been the Motivate Me Book Club, presented by Pineapple Gin. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Click the subscribe button to get the latest episode as it lands. Leave a rating, review, or comment to help us out, and share with friends the podcast, the book club, or even parts of the books that helped you. Motivate Me Book Club is here to motivate you.